Visit licensureexams.com and try our samples completely free of charge.
Hey there, all you curious and studious therapists out there. Welcome to our podcast here at Licensure Exams. I'm Dr. Linton Hutchinson, and this is my co-host, Stacey Frost. And we have a fun topic to explore with you today. Are you ready to dive into the wonderful world of group therapy?
I sure am, Linton. I've really been looking forward to this all week. We talk so much about individual therapy and all the different theoretical approaches that you can use to work with clients in a one-on-one setting. But there are really several therapy modalities that you need to know about as you're preparing for your exam. Couples, family, and of course, our topic today, group therapy.
Yes, group therapy. Very true. Group therapy is like a box of chocolates, and you never know exactly what will happen next. And while each group is unique, there are certain dynamics that tend to exist in all groups. Dr. Curry and his wife, marriage and family therapist Marianne, have been involved in leading groups for many years and developed a theory of group development that we're going to talk about today. Stacey, have you ever taken a group class from Curry?
Why, yes, I did, Linton. And as I remember, you were in the class too.
Oh, yeah? That was so long ago, I just slipped my mind.
You're starting to scare me a little bit, Linton. It was only last year sometime. So I guess that you'll need a refresher on this.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. So Curry's model consists of a series of stages. Forming the group, the initial stage of group, the transition stage, the working stage, and the final stage.
Right. It's come back to me now, finally.
Good.
It's essential for you as a therapist to understand what goes on in each and every one of these stages so that you can determine the best course of action to take with the group at any given time. So let's start with the first stage, forming the group. This is where all the group members come together for the very first time.
Yes, and we all know how awkward that can be. It's like a middle school dance where nobody knows who to talk to or what to say.
Or that very first date you ever had, Gwenny, my first love. I think we ended up playing chess in their basement, and her father just happened to come down over and over because it was something that he needed.
I see. Well, maybe he was just interested in how that chess game was going.
Right. It could be. But it's really important for the therapist to focus on creating a safe and trusting environment during the group formation stage. Early on, group members will look to you for direction. It would be best if you reviewed some basic housekeeping items like how confidentiality is handled in group settings, the purpose of the group, and clarifying their role and method of conducting group sessions.
Absolutely. And what about the group members, Linton? What are they experiencing in this stage?
Well, in that first stage, they're feeling anxious, uncertain, or you may find them even resistant to joining the group.
So moving on to the second stage, the initial stage of group, this is really the beginning of the group, when the group members are starting to get to know each other and they're figuring out how they fit into the group picture. So everyone is assessing their comfort level and determining how much to share. And I really like how Dr. Curry put it when he said that the initial stage is akin to the first few days one spends in a foreign land, having to learn the rudiments of a new language and different ways of expressing oneself.
Yes, this is definitely the stage of discovery. You see a lot of small talk and superficial interactions as people are testing the waters. It's important for you to encourage open communication and help the group members establish trust and support among each other.
And although it may be tempting as the group leader to try to rush through the awkwardness and make everyone feel like one big happy family who's working toward a common goal, it's actually really important to let the group members feel that awkwardness, which sounds really counterintuitive, right? Doesn't sound like something you should do. So why is it important? Because through feeling this anxiety and uncertainty that the group members start to find common ground and develop trust.
Well, that sounds pretty tricky. Kind of reminds me of the counseling technique, therapeutic silence, where you sit back and wait for the client to talk. Tell the truth now. you compassionate therapists out there want to continue to rescue whenever you sense your client is starting to feel really antsy and uncomfortable and anxious. Mm-hmm. Don't do it.
Exactly. And of course, there is a balance to be struck. So you don't want to let the group stay in the initial stage forever, but it's important to give them time and space to establish their own group dynamic.
Absolutely. And that brings us to the next stage, the transition stage. This stage can be characterized by some conflicts arising as group members start to push boundaries and test the group's norms and rules. And it's up to the therapist, that's you, to guide the group through the stage by addressing conflicts and helping them work towards resolution.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And in this stage, we also see anxiety, defensiveness, and resistance. And all of these reactions are normal and they're part of the group process. So you can think of it kind of like the group's natural growing pains as the members start to open up and share deeper thoughts and feelings. And one of the group leader's tasks at this point is really to remain sensitive and non-judgmental. The leader has to strike a balance in gently encouraging group members to share, but not pushing too hard if they really aren't ready.
Right. And talking about resistance, it's not always verbal, such as, I don't want to talk about that anymore. Sometimes resistance manifests as hostile behaviors on the other end of the spectrum as passive-aggressive behavior.
So this is one of those times where you really put on your detective hat as a therapist, because understanding resistance is really crucial, because if you don't recognize it and work with it, then the group is going to get stuck.
Yeah, it gets stuck. And there's a lot of different reasons why group members may be reluctant to talk about and explore their own personal issues. It might be a good old-fashioned defense mechanism protecting the client from anxiety or pain. It could be a fear of change and the unknown. It could be a fear of losing control, fear of intimacy, fear of rejection, issues with authority figures, which will be you, or it could even be related to depression. As you uncover the underlying reasons for the group members' resistant attitudes and behaviors, that's when you start to get to the good stuff. This is when the group can really turn a corner, gaining insight and awareness.
Mm-hmm. And as the group moves through the transition stage, members may take on certain roles within the group dynamic. And some common roles that we see are the monopolist. And this is the client who dominates the conversation. They hardly let anybody else get a word in. So as a therapist, you're going to need to gently intervene.
So they always interrupt you too, huh?
Yes, exactly like that, Linton. They always interrupt. So your job is going to be gently now, Linton, okay. I'd like for you to open up space for others to share. Then you can have the silent member, and this client participates really very little, if at all. So drawing out quiet members requires real sensitivity, and you can invite them to share. But as we mentioned earlier, you shouldn't push too hard. And then you have the clown. So this is the person in the group who uses humor to lighten the mood. And this isn't necessarily bad, but too much joking can cover up real issues.
Uh-huh.
And then we've got another example is the distractor. And this group member is always going to try to steer the conversation off topic. So as the therapist, your job is to redirect the discussion back to the important issues.
So Stacy, have you got all your Christmas decorations up yet?
No, are you kidding? It's not even Thanksgiving yet.
Well,
no, I'm waiting until the end of the month. How about you?
Well, I thought I'd be the distractor right there and get us off topic for a bit.
Oh, yes. Yes, I do see your tree back there and got some other ornamentation going on.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So you can see how easily you would be able to get off course talking about
really
something else completely unrelated.
Definitely. With this stage, you also see pairings and allegiance forming with different members. Mm-hmm. Two group members may develop a stronger connection and want to talk privately before or after sessions. Or a few members may band together and seem to have an us versus them mentality.
Good point. So with that in mind, your job as the group leader is to maintain healthy boundaries around these subgroups. And the goal is really to build an inclusive, collaborative environment. So let's move on to the fourth stage now, the working mm-hmm. stage.
Okay.
This is really the heart of the therapy process right here.
Absolutely, yes. By now, the group has moved past the initial awkwardness and resistance stage. They've built trust, cohesion, and a sense of belonging. Group members are more willing to take risk, give each other feedback, and explore their deeper issues.
Yes, exactly. And you as the therapist are going to be taking more of a background role here, and you're going to be allowing the members to interact and support each other. And you might step in occasionally to offer insights, some reflection, some guidance where it's needed. But really, for the most part, you're going to be taking a back seat and letting the group process kind of continue to unfold naturally.
Mm-hmm. This is where the real breakthroughs and the aha moments tend to happen. Group members have worked through most of their earlier anxiety about being in the group, and they seem more secure in sharing their intense emotions. Cohesion is really strong during this stage, and at this point, group members all share a common bond. Now, as rewarding as this working stage can be, it's not without its challenges. Strong emotions will arise as people open up about trauma, grief, insecurity, and their inner pain.
And as the group therapist, the leader, you need to strike a balance between allowing some productive venting while also keeping things from escalating into pure chaos. So if multiple members get highly escalated at once, that's when you may need to intervene with some calming techniques.
And expect conflicts to come up during this working stage. Part of your role is to teach healthy communication and conflict resolution skills. When done right, working through disagreements can bring the group to an ever deeper level of understanding and trust.
Yes, which eventually brings us to the last stage, the final stage. This is when the group prepares to disband and everyone will start to go their separate ways.
That's such a bittersweet stage, isn't it, Stacey?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the end.
On one hand, it's so gratifying to see how far members have come in their journey of growth and healing. But of course, it's natural to feel some sadness about saying goodbye after going through this intense experience together.
And as the therapist, you really want to optimize this termination stage by preparing the group and helping them process the transition in a healthy way. The final stage is a time to resolve unfinished business and review the progress and strengths that each group member has found during the therapeutic process.
A follow-up session can also be planned to help the group members transition from having the support of a structured group sessions to being on their own and creating their new support systems. Follow-up sessions can also be helpful in reinforcing what group members learn during the group process as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, that brings us to the final stage of this episode. So here's a quick recap of Corey's view on group development. There are five main stages.
Mm-hmm.
Forming, initial, transition, working, and final. And the key is to recognize what's happening in each stage so that you know how to guide the group effectively. Now, you as the group leader sometimes have different roles to play. So encouraging participation, addressing conflicts, allowing vulnerability, and teaching communication skills. But through it all, from start to finish in the group, you are providing a safe space for self-discovery.
Well, Stacy up there.
And Linton down there.
Well, this wraps up today's presentation. We've got more in store for you about group therapy, different techniques and different theories that will be something you'll want to stay tuned for. So until next time, remember, it's in there.
In there.